It's mid-November in the Savoie Alps. A few cows are still in the fields, but most have been brought into the barns for the winter. Their mountain slopes are now being prepped to become ski slopes. At the Saisy Ski Resort, snow cannons spray compressed air and water up the mountain. On a relatively warm, sunny day, it comes out as mist. Inside a building overlooking the slopes, Fabien Pichol sits at a computer with a schematic of the resort's snowmakers. There are over 300 of them. He explains that when it gets cold enough, below minus 4 degrees, the water droplets that come out of these machines turn into grains of ice, which stick to the ground like snow. In 2 days' time, temperatures are expected to drop low enough for that to happen, and they're planning to turn them on. What's important is to cover the main part of the ski resort, he explains. That's where all the lifts end. A layer of artificial snow will help the real snow stick when it comes, and it will come.
We know that every winter we have snow.
Fabienne Roux works for the Saisy Tourist Office. She says there's always snow on the resort's 50 slopes.
We have a special location because we are on a summit, and we have a special location with the Mont Blanc.
The Mont Blanc is the tallest mountain in the Alps.
And thanks to the Mont Blanc, we have a lot of snow, always.
This is not the case for other ski resorts in the area. Roux says that global warming is a concern, but for now, it's not going to have much of an impact.
Even if it's a season with few snow, we know that in Les Saisies, it will be the one of the resorts with more snow than the other.
The climate is in the mountains is notoriously variable, always has been and will continue to be.
Samuel Morin is the head of the Snow Research Center in Grenoble.
The variability has always occurred and will continue to occur, but there is this trend that is superimposed on this variability.
And that trend is less snow on the ground in many areas of the French Alps and other mountains. We're at one of the center's research sites, the Col de Porte, or Port Pass, in the Chartreuse Mountains, just outside of Grenoble. About 1,300 meters up, the fenced-in site houses a bunch of different kinds of devices used to measure snow on the ground. It's not as easy as you might imagine. Snow involves precipitation and low temperatures. Temperature, of course, can be measured with a thermometer, but measuring precipitation isn't as easy. Rain falls into a bucket, rain like is falling right now. But once the temperatures drop and it turns into snow,
you're trying to basically store the snow in a box. Even without any wind, the snow will be diverted around this little bucket.
Around the site are different types of instruments to capture the snow and measure it.
Here you have different types of buckets. Here the big barrel is a larger one. This is a larger one. This is a smaller one.
The site is used to test these devices. Morin and his team also track temperature and snowfall here. Those measurements help confirm the computer models they develop to predict the weather. The lab is partly run by the French weather service, Météo France, and they produce weather and avalanche reports. Morin says, though, that they also model the long term.
We also need to monitor on the long term to better understand what's going on and to provide the basis to correct the models which do the forecast or the projection for the next century.
Monitoring and modeling snow is important, he says, because it is a resource.
It's a water resource. It brings energy through the hydropower, and it brings also tourism. Tourism is a very large activity for mountain regions, and mountain tourism at the moment relies heavily on snow.
Inside, away from the rain falling on the instruments outside, Morin pulls out papers showing measurements they've made here.
We're looking at a graph here.
We're looking at a graph that spans from since 60 to 2100.
Yeah, 2100.
The graph charts the mean snow depth at the site since 1960. The years themselves vary a lot, but they follow a general trend.
You can see that since late 80s, we never ever had years with over 1.2 meters on average. We had a drastic drop of the average snow condition, so the variability remains. But since the late 80s, about 86, 87, we had this large drop of average snow condition everywhere at mid-altitude, like below 2,000 meters altitude, in the Alps, but also in Austria, also in northern Italy, in Switzerland, they observe the same.
So you had like the 60s, 70s up to 1980, you could get up to almost 2 meters, 1.5 meters.
Yeah, on average.
On average, and here, yeah, we're seeing the curve. It's never about a meter.
Scientists don't really know why this drop occurred, but they did measure it. The graph shows measurements through today, and then it shifts to projecting the future using models that are based on three different scenarios. Morin shows these scenarios on another paper. A green line shows a scenario in which today's climate policy proposals are all implemented. The result?
The emissions of CO2 and greenhouse gases in general will keep increasing until the middle of the century and then level down and decrease by the end of the century. That's the green one. The blue one corresponds to a scenario where some climate policy is implemented so that we limit the rise of greenhouse gas emissions to some extent. And so by the end of the century, we do not totally double the amount of CO2 that is present in the atmosphere.
The last one, a red line, is the scenario if we do nothing. Looking at the graph projecting the snow depth at the site then, the green, blue, and red lines don't look all that different through the middle of the century.
If you look at the curve, there is no scenario that you can distinguish from the others. From now until 2050, it's about the same.
That makes sense, as CO2 levels will only change after 2050, even if we reduce emissions now.
The situation is quite different for the last 30, 40 years of the century.
So looking to then, around the year 2070, the red line, the one showing the scenario where there's no change in climate policy, shows no more heavy snow by the end of the century.
On average, the snow conditions will be much poorer than now. And even with the green scenario, the ideal one, even in this one, we're not really recovering.
None of this takes into account artificial snow, of course, so the effects on the ski industry are not clear. The climate changes, but so does technology, says Morin.
Some of them, when we discuss, tell them, they say, well, maybe 20, 30 years from now, there will be disruptive changes that no one can anticipate. You can think of anything like augmented reality or, I don't know, some state that we are thinking about the 21st century in terms of the climate, but using the 2015 socioeconomic framework, which may change a lot. And I can't object anything to that. What we answer to that is that at least we demonstrate that maybe in some conditions, the current technology won't be able to cope with the expected change.
Some ski resorts have already realized they can't cope. Patrick Dolcy manages the Col de Marcieux site in the Chartreuse, which is part of what you would call the pre-Alps. At 1,060 meters, the site is pretty low. It opened as a ski resort in 1968, but by the 1980s, there was a significant drop in the amount of snow. There were seasons with no snow at all, says Dolcy. There are, of course, always variations, but he says the striking thing is the rise of temperatures. 2 years ago was the snowiest winter ever, he says, but the temperatures stayed around zero. Remember, it can snow at zero, but temperatures used to go down to minus 10, minus 12, but they didn't. So it's not the lack of snow that worries him, it's the lack of cold. 10 years ago, he and the town councillors realized the trend meant they couldn't guarantee good ski conditions all the time. People were going elsewhere for skiing, so they decided to do something about it. The former mayor had a very specific vision, says Dolcy. He said, if we continue like we're doing now, we end up with nothing. At some point, you need to break with the past, he says. So they went about convincing the town residents to support a complete revamp of the ski resort, focusing on sledding and teaching skiing to children, along with a major push to develop summer activities on the mountain. It took quite a while to convince people.
Il a fallu passer par des bureaux d'études.
They actually resorted to outside consultants. But 10 years later, the change is here. And it seems to be working. Dolcy points out snowmakers about 200 meters up the hill. As soon as temperatures drop, they start making snow, and that's where the kids learn how to ski. There's no longer ski lift infrastructure to maintain, and there are only 15 snow cannons. Snow is still important. For generations, people have connected the cold with snow, says Dolcy. It's inconceivable for them to consider a mountain in the winter without it, even if that's where we're headed. And yet, summer activities are booming here. Hiking, tree climbing.
L'été pour nous, c'est l'avenir.
Summer is the future for us, he says. It used to be that only 10% of the site's revenue came from summer sports. Today, it's 40%. And they're seeing many more people all year round who bring in 10 times as much money as when the site was just a ski resort.
On est passé à 3 emplois à plein temps.
We created 3 full-time jobs, Dolcy says, and a dozen seasonal ones. Before, there were no full-time jobs. He admits that this shift towards summer activities and changing winter sports isn't all because of global warming. There are cultural shifts at work here. People tend to ski fewer hours in a day. They're looking for other activities.
Les grandes stations aujourd'hui nous copient.
The bigger ski resorts are now copying our model, says Dolcy.
Ils ont commencé à comprendre aussi que le ski, c'est pas l'avenir.
They, too, are starting to realize that skiing is not the future. Of course, this is not the case for ski resorts that have slopes above 2,000 meters. There will probably be snow there for several more decades, if not longer. But on some level, you could say that the ski industry in France shows this convergence of timescales, of the shorter-term business needs of finding and maintaining snow, and the longer-term planetary trends, which appear to show that it might not last forever. Sarah Elsis, RFI, Grenoble.